Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the pad. We thank you for joining us as always. LA Bachelor with you. Happy holidays to you on a Christmas Eve. Hope you're having a good one and all is well. You got all your shopping done and everybody's safe and ready for Christmas Day as we wind down 2018. Want to go right to the phones. Of course, he is a reporter for the Southern Lakes newspapers, covering all Wisconsin sports, if you will. He is Troy Sparks. Troy, I appreciate your patience, man, and happy holiday to you and yours, sir.
Same to you, man. That was a great song. I listened to it. Huh?
Yeah, James Brown, yeah. Go straight to the ghetto. We need him there. Packers coming off an overtime win against the Jets. Two teams with a lot of decisions to make in the offseason. Aaron Rodgers in that game. They're playing well. But Joe Philbin, you know, a guy who's people are very familiar with around the NFL, there in, you know, taking over for a fired head coach. What's the status with him in terms of taking that I off and being making it an H instead of interim being a head coach, the head coach for the Packers?
I know they're definitely going to talk to him, but I believe that Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy have their eyes on somebody with also head coaching experience and probably a proven winner. So he will be mentioned, but Mark Murphy has said all along that it's going to be his decision to make no matter. But he'll get other people involved in the coaching search, but Mark Murphy, who is the team president, will be the one to decide who the new coach is. And so it's probably – for them to wait until the off season, wait until the whole season is over. Maybe they want to talk to some coaches whose teams will still be in the playoffs. So they're not in a hurry to just anoint Joe Philbin as the permanent head coach.
Why play Aaron Rodgers at that point? You know, you're not making the playoffs. You win, and now you got six wins. You hope to finish the season with seven. That's a losing season with Coach McCarthy gone. Why play him and risk more injuries?
It was Rodgers' decision. He said all along he wanted to play. He knew that the team wasn't going to the playoffs, but he wanted to show that he was going to finish off the season regardless of their record. And on top of that, he didn't want to be the person that would just quit and sit out the last two games. He wanted to show, especially the younger players, what kind of leader he was. So he just rather play these final two games instead of tanking it in and sitting it out.
Talking with Troy Sparks, of course, from Southern Lakes newspapers on the pad. Before I go to T-Mac, staying with Rodgers, I asked Barry Barnes, who you know, about, you know, Aaron Rodgers' future, not just his future in Green Bay. He signed that contract, so, you know, he'll be there unless something happens. But like, say, Roethlisberger and maybe to a different extent, you know, Tom Brady, he's in the twilight, right? Is Aaron Rodgers, if he stays in Green Bay or leaves, do you think he wins another Super Bowl, and let alone even get to one?
I can't see him winning another Super Bowl, no matter who they draft, let's say, over the next 3 or 4 years. I believe Rodgers will finish his career in Green Bay because he signed that big contract. So I think it's his mission to go to another Super Bowl, but I really don't see it happening. And so they have their chances the last two or three times, and I think the window is closing on him. He's 35 years old, and he realizes that maybe a sense of urgency for him to try to get to another Super Bowl. But it all depends on who they get as the coach. And that new coach would have to really much adjust to Aaron Rodgers, because if they don't get along, then there's no recipe for them making the playoffs and going beyond the playoffs in the next 1 or 2 years.
Mm. Talking with Troy Sparks on the pad, if you have a quick question, hit us up on Facebook. Or, of course, at 646-929-0130, the number to get in touch with us. That, turn it over to Tony T. Mac Booklet.
Hey, Troy. The Brewers were relatively quiet during the winter meetings and even more so now. Is there anything, dare I say it, brewing in Milwaukee?
I don't think there's much brewing in Milwaukee. And the thing is, and the reason is that they are pretty satisfied with the nucleus of players that they already have. I'm sure that they didn't want Jonathan Schoop back. They wasn't going to offer him the contract that he was seeking. Mike Moustakas is gone. So they're satisfied with whoever they have now. And then there are some prospects in AAA that are ready, and they just have to wait their turn. So according to David Stearns, I believe that he got the team that can contend again in 2019.
You know, in your opinion, why did that whole thing not work out for Schoop? Because when they got him, I thought it was a great move. I thought that he would be a spark for them and all of that. It just never materialized. And I don't think I still think he's a great ball player. What in your opinion, what do you think happened or didn't happen, I guess, for him down there?
They were expecting him to repeat the performance of 2017. So when he came to the Brewers and he struggled at the plate, that pretty much, in their mind, let them know that he wasn't going to work out, and that those numbers that he put up in 2017 wasn't the numbers that he put up in 2018. So they consider that a trade bust. And so the contract that he was seeking was not going to be done in Milwaukee. So maybe he'll do better in Minnesota next year.
All righty. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. I want to, touch on the Bucks before we get to a couple other things. Some of your, MVPs and that kind of thing. Right now, if you go by the standings on paper, and I always judge NBA teams and, how good they are after Christmas. When you get to that Christmas spot. If you look at the overall conference record, Milwaukee's right there, right behind Toronto. If you look at the division, of course, they're leading the division only by a game over Indiana. Of course, Toronto was playing lights out. They've come back to earth a little bit. Milwaukee's playing really good basketball. What's been the difference with them this year thus far to get out to the streak that they are? They're playing really good at home. They're playing exceptional on the road, winning record on the road, even over one game over 500. But what's been the difference with them thus far after 35 games or so?
Are all the players buying into Coach Mike Budenholzer's system? And his system requires the ball to move around. And if there's someone open for a three-pointer, make or miss, you hit that shot, and before you know it, you can turn a three-point lead to a 20-point lead. And what they did in Boston last Friday, I think that shows what kind of team they can be, even though Boston was without three main players. But that has been the difference there. You just and then everybody has to be ready to play. Even some of the bench players stepped in for others who are out with injury. So I'd say right now they're doing pretty good, but let's see what happens in January and February.
One of the things I've noticed a little bit about them as they play Christmas Day against Tony's Knicks is their tendency to kind of fall by the wayside against teams they should dominate. Case in point, the loss against the Heat a couple of days ago. Is that an issue? Is that a concern with Coach and his coaching staff with this young and talented team, that they play up to some teams that they want to compete with and maybe play down to teams that they should beat and beat kind of handily?
They will have to worry about what they can do and get as many wins as possible at home and then win about half of their road games. But I don't think it's a concern. I really don't see them doing too much by the trade deadline because they pretty much have some good players on their team. If they play together and play good defense and stop the teams that they're supposed to beat, then they shouldn't have any problems. So I would say that right now they're pretty much where they're at as far as overall production and whatever their record says, because they are what their record is right now.
If they fall off the cliff, and again, as you know, we all know, me, you, T-Mac, we all know it's only 30-something games. You still got more than half a season left in there. But let's say they struggle, you know, second after the year, with the expectations of the new arena and everything else going on, is that considered a disappointing season if they struggle and, let's say, go into the playoffs as a lower seed, a 6 or 7 or something along those lines?
Yeah, it would be a struggle because anything below, let's say, okay, the top 4 teams in the conference would get the home court advantage in the first round, and then they would have to play on the road. So they want to be in the top 4 in the Eastern Conference so they can get those home games. And so, yeah, it would be a disappointment if they fell like 6th or 7th or even 8th in the conference standings. It will be really a disappointment if they miss the playoffs all along. So they just have to keep playing that at the level of consistency that they know how, and everything else should take care of itself.
Yeah, I don't think I think they definitely make the playoffs. They're too talented for that. Couple of teams that have been playing surprisingly good basketball that stand out to me in the Eastern Conference, Troy, I want to get your thoughts on Brooklyn, albeit under 500, but listen, they haven't been 16-19 after 35 games in quite some time. So much improved. Indiana, everybody's hot on them. They're right behind, as I mentioned, behind your Bucks, a game behind, and they play well, and particularly on the road. They've been pretty hot over their last 10 games. And then, you know, I would say Charlotte only because – you know, nobody expected them to do much. Now, they are in probably the weakest division in the Southeast, but they are tied for first place with Miami. Your thoughts on those three teams?
I think Indiana can be a threat. Indiana looks like they'll have a good chance to overtake the Bucks in the division. I like Miami's chances, too, even though this is Dwayne Wade's last year. So you can't count them out. As far as Charlotte is another team that I think will sneak into the playoffs. And so any one of those three teams can be dangerous for the top tier, the top 4 Eastern Conference teams. So they really don't have anything to lose. But Indiana, I think, will win the division. That's just my thought.
Wow. So you think that they'll overtake Milwaukee and keep it going?
Yeah, I do, because they beat the Bucks at home a couple of weeks ago. Talking about Indiana. So, yeah,
right.
I think so.
Okay, let's get your thoughts on the NFL. You've been covering the Packs. Who would be roughly your offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, and your MVP of the league?
Offensive player? Gosh, that's a tough one. That's really tough. But I'm going to go with Melvin Gordon of the Chargers. And as a tie, the quarterback from the Rams, Jared Goff. The defensive player of the year, I would say J.J. Watt. And then what else did you ask me? Oh, the MVP, the most valuable player. I'll say Tom Brady again.
Tom Brady, oh my God! See, you just messed up. You lost your you lost your Christmas gift in the mail. I was about to send it out late, but it was coming. real quick, Reggie, do you have a question? Good evening, sir. A question for Troy Sparks. Good evening.
Tom Brady, come on, Troy, man.
Come on, man.
Drew Brees is having a better year.
Reg, he gets a lump of coal, man.
Nah, I want him to explain that, man. You be intellectually dishonest this year, bro. Come on, explain this to me. You be intellectually dishonest. TMZ got to you again, got dirty pictures on you or something?
No, not me.
Wow.
Okay, Drew, man, we'll go with Drew Brees, man. Okay, I'll be on your side this time. Yeah, we'll go with
wow.
Drew Brees.
Hey, look, I'm not a Saint fan. Oh, real quick, what's up with the Steelers, man? Do you think Tomlin's in trouble? Because it seems like maybe this team is plateauing. Maybe they're not listening to him anymore. That was a little breakdown against the Saints last night.
Well, from what I heard, at least when I watched one of the football shows today, they were 7-2-1. And all of a sudden, they lost, what, 4 out of the 5 games. So I think they'll probably be looking for a coaching change because Mike Tomlin probably have lost some of his, you know, some of the players on the team. If you can't get Le'Veon Bell to play for you, then something's wrong with the organization and your coaching.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with a lot of that stuff. I'm still in I'm still trying to take my foot out of the TV, but you know, it is what it is. Troy, before you go, what would be your story of the year, your sports story of the year, if you can think of one? What would be that one story?
I think the one sports story is the Boston Red Sox, because the Dodgers claimed that they had the team that will win the World Series, and the Red Sox pulled it off. So I think that would be my sports story of the year.
Man, you're killing me. You kill me with like 3 of your last answers. Just kill me. Just kill me.
I mean, well, you know, well, Boston won over 100 games, and they led from start to finish, and they finished it off by winning. I mean, nobody likes the winners anymore.
On that note, you get a lump of coal, Troy. We still love you anyway,
right.
But you get a lump of coal. Okay? But, no, look, I appreciate you. God bless to you and your family, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Appreciate you, and we will talk with you on the other side, okay?
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you, man. It's the past. Stay tuned, guys.
Thank you.
Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring, snowing and blowing, our bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime and jingle bells time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air. Gliding in a one-horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. A jingle around the clock. Mix and a mingle in the jingling beat. That's the Jingle Bell Rock. Jingle bell chiming, jingle bell time. Snowing and blowing, our bushels of fun. Now the jingle hop has begun. Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chiming, jingle bell time. Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square. In the frosty air, yeah, what a bright time. It's the right time to rock the night away. Jingle bell time. Go gliding in a one-horse sleigh. Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock. A mix and a mingle and a jingle and beat. That's the jingle bell. That's the jingle bell. That's the jingle bell.
happy holidays, however you celebrate it, Kwanzaa and all of those different ways that folks celebrate it. We just want to wish all of you the best and safe and a time with you and your family. So, LA Bachelor is the Bachelor Pad. We're running over a little bit. Guys, I got the brothers from the round table, the black brothers of the round table here, T-Mac, Reg. Mike Patton will be joining us shortly, hopefully, to talk as well. I want to go back to what Troy said reluctantly, but it is what it is. With the Steelers, just in that particular game, I'll go to your Orlando first, and then we'll go to your Eagles, of course, big win. The one thing about this team, not disappointed, not expectations. The only expectations I had this year was with a Panther fan who I said, A, we'll finish better than you. B, we're going to kick your ass when we play you. So I had those right. I was 2 for 2 on that. But this team, I think, has stopped listening to Mike Tomlin. And yesterday's game was all on the coaches. You have to step on the throat. You're in New Orleans. You're playing a team who can light up the scoreboard in the dome. You're up 28-24, and then you start getting conservative. And then 3rd and 2, I understand Ridley fumbled, but 3rd and 2, you run. It's not 3rd and inches. 3rd and 2, you run this tight little double tight end up the middle run and play on 3rd down. Second thing is, on 4th and 5, I understand what he's trying to do. If you get it, it's great. If you don't, you know, Saints have half the field, but you get the ball back, you got a shot to win. You know, Schuster fumbles the ball, game over. But that's coaching, and that's not just Tomlin. That's the offensive coordinator. That's coaching that lost that particular game.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. This is Michael Jackson of the Jackson 5 wishing a happy holiday to all Motown fans.
And I love that song because, you know, Michael said, I'm going to tell my daddy. Sound like somebody I know in my family who would say stuff like that. As we celebrate the holidays, back to the phones, I guess Santa's elves or somebody, Mike Patton, were messing with the phone. But anyway, welcome. And Merry Christmas to you and your family. And Orlando, I apologize. We'll go back to you. But, Mike, you heard what I said about Tomlin and that whole situation. Has he lost this game at this point?
No, he's not going anywhere.
I think
he'll be the coach of the Pittsburgh. He'll be the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers next year.
Hmm.
You can book
okay.
that.
Why should he?
The thing is, they'll go 10-6 or 9-7 and still, you know, be right there for contention every single year. He didn't like the team bottomed out. If the team bottomed out, I'd be like, yeah, sure, he's lost the team. But the team hadn't bottomed out. And then secondly, I would say, yeah, it was a few coaching mistakes in that game, definitely, especially going for it on fourth down. I didn't understand that one. But and it is what it is. I think maybe a few staff adjustments, and I think he'll be right back being the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers next year.
He did bottom out. They were 7-2-1. They've lost five of their last six games. Meanwhile, the guy in Baltimore. Hold on, let me finish. Meanwhile, the guy in Baltimore.
I didn't say
anything. Some of us. I'm just saying. Some of us, you know, on this broadcast, including myself. Had John Harbaugh gone. He just signed, and guess what? They've won five of the last six, and all they got to do is beat Cleveland, and Pittsburgh's home for the holidays.
Mm-hmm. I will say this. He hasn't bottomed out. If he bottomed out, they would be like 3-13 or something like that. At the beginning of the season, they would have bottomed out right then and there. That's why I will say he hasn't lost the team. Sure, they've had a rough stretch of it. I definitely agree there. But the team hasn't bottomed out. If the team bottomed out, they wouldn't even be in playoff contention if they bottomed out. So that's why I don't agree with he bottomed out. We have different definitions of bottoming out.
That's what I was going to say. We have different definitions because mm-hmm. you have to be playing your best football in
mm-hmm.
December and January, and they're not. And they will be watching,
gotcha.
You know, the playoffs on TV. I want to switch gears quickly to the NBA because I was just talking with Troy mm-hmm. Sparks about some of the teams there. Toronto got off to this great start. You know, Gerald Hoover and some of the other people were talking about how great they are and the difference of what they are. And, they kind of come back to the pack a little bit. Milwaukee's being who I guess most people thought they would be. They're only game behind or game and a half. Indiana's looking really good. The Sixers have come back. My Sixers have come back and starting to play well, although they still need, Mike, to learn how to win on the road. I know Orlando will answer mm-hmm. that. But what do you see in the East right now? Because I always say, I just mentioned in the last segment, I always look at teams after the after Christmas break, once they get to the halfway point, then you know who's really a great team or a good team. And who's probably going to fall by the wayside?
Mm-hmm. I still think Toronto's the best team in the East. I mean, people can say they may have came back to the pack or anything like that, but look at what they've done with many with pieces missing. Had Kyle Lowry out, had Kawhi out. They've had other people out, still winning ball games with putting other players in. Pascal Siakam is pretty much going to be at this point, he's the most improved player in the NBA. He'll win that award just by his play. And then you look at, you know, all the other guys, OG Anunoby stepping up when Kawhi's out and when, you know, Kyle Lowry's out as well. I can definitely say that the Toronto Raptors are the class of the East right now, and they're looking like what I thought they would be, which is the team that will represent the East in the NBA Finals this year.
Who's the surprise? Who's the disappointment? I like – and it's funny. I said this early in the evening. I said this earlier to someone up top in New York.
that, you know, Brooklyn looks a lot better than they normally do. Normally after 35 games, they're 10-25 or something like that. So they're playing a lot better. Mm-hmm. Who looks good? Who's a disappointment? And why is Brooklyn doing better this year?
Well, I would say definitely Brooklyn has surprised me. The backcourt of Dinwiddie and Russell have definitely been good. Both, mind you, were coming into the year in contract years, so of course they're going to play well. But, you know, both are playing well. Russell's got career highs in points and I think points and assists or points and rebounds. You know, definitely that is the engine of that team right now, and, you know, everyone else is filling in, shooting the three, spacing the floor, and, you know, you got the big man inside from Texas blocking shots. You know, and another surprise to me is Milwaukee. Not saying in them being in contention in the East, but just how they're doing it. They're shooting the most. They're shooting and making the most threes in the NBA with a team last year that was pretty dead last in shooting the three. So you can't say the magic of Budenholzer has not been sprinkled on that team, because they're definitely playing some of their best ball, especially with shooting the three-pointer, which makes Giannis a lot tougher to defend. And I would say Boston, though.
Yeah, and they had some injury. And it's interesting, though, with Milwaukee, with Budenholzer coming over, bringing that Golden State style. I think we talked about that before the season. A lot of teams want to play that up-tempo, shoot-the-three type of style, and he's bringing that to the East, and it's working. You're right. I mean, it's really working for them. Before I go to Orlando, I want to go to the Western Conference. And, look, I think you mentioned you get the Negro Domus points about Denver being better. Lakers are certainly playing better. Golden State is Golden State. OKC has been playing better. You look at the Clippers, who started off really good, and I think you said they'll be the best team in the West, I mean, at least in L.A. They struggle a little bit. What do you see in the Western Conference so far? Surprises, disappointments, that type of thing?
Well, I will say this. The Clippers definitely played a lot better than people thought they were, and it wasn't necessarily that the Clippers are playing better. It's just the pieces that are doing it. Nobody expected Montrezl Harrell to be the man coming in off the bench for them, even though he's, like, way undersized. He's, like, probably 6'7", 6'8", but he's
right.
Definitely handling his business inside with his explosive leaping ability and his energetic play. As far as another surprise, I would say just Oklahoma City in terms of, you know, Russ deferring a little bit more and allowing Paul George to be the star that he is. There's only maybe three superstars in the NBA, so I can't call Paul George a superstar. But they are he's definitely doing this thing, and he's definitely, you know, Russ is definitely allowing him to do more because he's deferring more to him, which is a great thing for Oklahoma City, because he puts his whole game on display, and it allows Russ to be more active on the defensive end than the head of the team on that end. You know, as far as Denver, I expected them to be good. And another surprise for you is that, you know, everyone was talking about how Brandon Ingram was going to be the second piece besides LeBron James. But I wrote an article talking about how actually Kyle Kuzma would fit better beside LeBron James. And what do you know, when Brandon Ingram was out, who looked way better beside him than Brandon Ingram? That would be a Mr. Kyle Kuzma.
You're always getting those points, man. I'm talking with Mike Patton, of course, of SportsAwakening.com, USA Today, covering Tennessee State sports as well. Wrote an article on the tough loss they had against the Aggies of North Carolina A&T. And obviously that was a tough loss for them. You can look at that article on his website, along with another article on Juju Smith-Schuster being he thinks better. Or should be in the Pro Bowl over A.B. Antonio Brown. 646-929-0130, the number to get in touch with us. You can watch us on Facebook Live. Hit us up there. You can hit us up on Facebook at Pat Nation, or of course, or on Twitter, Pat Nation 2. Big ups to Eduardo Barrios, listening and watching in Brazil. And I appreciate that. Also, other folks on Facebook Live with that. Go to my good friend in Philly, a lot closer than Brazil, in Philly, probably colder right now, Mr. Orlando Hughes. Orlando, what say you, sir? Happy holidays.
Hey, happy holidays to everybody. I'm listening. You started out with that question, and Mike kind of answered it as well. I don't think that, you know, Coach in Pittsburgh,
Tomlin.
He's definitely going to be back next year. Tomlin, he's definitely going to be back. I think the problem has been just the lack of discipline as far as offensively. And we talked before the season started. This doesn't feel like a Steelers team because you guys have been lacking defensively for a couple of years. It's been your offense has been so explosive. But when it came down to it, you just don't play Steelers football, like what's traditional Steelers football. So I think you need some more pieces on the defensive end and definitely a new offensive coordinator. But that's the problem with the Steelers, terrible towels aren't threatening people in Cleveland and in Baltimore anymore.
That's true.
For years, you guys have been, you know, you and the Patriots have had the, you know, you controlled your division, and that was like instantly almost 7 to 8 wins just by beating up your division, and it wasn't there this year for you.
Well, that didn't change, Orlando. First of all, they never intimidate the Ravens. Never. They never intimidate the Ravens. So that's out. Number two, they always beat the Bengals. They always beat the Browns. So that's 4-1. So that hasn't really changed. The problem is, if you're going to blame it on offensive coordinators, if I'm an assistant coach on your team and I call a play and it doesn't work, ultimately who's responsible for that? Is it me or is it the head coach?
Can I ask you a question, L.A.?
Sure.
Here's what I have a question for. Why is the general manager of this organization never catching any blame?
I don't have a problem with that.
Really,
I agree
crap.
With you.
You know,
I agree with
so
you.
So I'm like, if you're gonna blame Mike Tomlin, the general manager has to catch some of the blame as well for not giving. You got a Bud Dupree that really hasn't done anything. You got the kid from Georgia that never really did anything. Now,
nope.
T.J. Waddle ended up being something, but you have other pieces, and you're like, okay, your defense hasn't gotten any pieces that actually are changing them or make them better or get them back to that way. So, you know, necessarily isn't all the blame isn't on Mike Tomlin, but I understand the blame that he's getting.
Yeah, and again, it you know, to your point, I understand the pieces part. That's drafting, but he has a say in that as well. So the GM and him should be blamed for that. Number two, you know, it's that saying, if you hang your hat on one side, then people expect that side to be really good. But number three, again, he made the decision to go for it on 4th and 5. That's his call. And that was a horrible call. I know what he was trying to do, but you can't do that and give your defense has stopped Drew Brees and got to him two straight times. Why would you put your defense on that side of the ball in that position? And that's been sort of the story all year. The offense has been cluttering and whatever. I mean, AB hasn't been – the Dancing with the Stars messed AB all up. He's not AB this year at all, even with the 90 catches. Dancing with the Stars and staying on Instagram – has messed him totally up. He's not the same player. And it's just dysfunctional. And it has
still
to start somewhere. So if you want to fire the GM and the coach, I'm with that. I don't have a problem with that. I don't. I'm sorry. You know?
I'll say this. AB's still the same guy. He's still putting up the same numbers. He might have a little flair about himself, but that's how he's pretty much always been. The thing is, when you get money, it brings out more of what you are. It doesn't make you something else.
Well, we'll disagree with that on again. Let's go to T-Mac. Mac, what you got, sir?
Can we address the 600-pound gorilla in the room, Le'Veon Bell?
Thank you.
Let's put it this way. If he gets fired, they will see they will make him a scapegoat. But I will say this. He's had bad stretches like this before because historically, and I don't want to turn this into, you know, Mike Tomlin confidential, mind you, but he's historically from December on has had the best coaching record in NFL history for any coach. That's one of the things that's basically has kept him as being one of the elite coaches. Yesterday's loss and the way that this year has played out looks ugly. To me, the question is, are they going to fire him and use him as a scapegoat, or are they going to truly build this team? Because as bad as it may have looked yesterday, this team isn't that far off from being a contender. The thing is that the rest of that division has gotten better. As bad as Cleveland is, Cleveland's a little bit better. Cincinnati, even as middle of the road as they are, they have, you know, they have room to grow. And you know, Baltimore, you know, now that Jackson has pretty much established himself as a quarterback, they're in it now. To me, the onus is on management. The onus isn't on Tomlin. To me, if they were to fire him, they're scapegoating him for their mistakes. That's just one man's opinion.
Okay. I'm the lone wolf tonight, but that's okay. I've been that before.
So you. This question. I'm just curious. Who would you want if you fire him?
I'm not even thinking that far. I don't know if he's gonna get fired. I think he will get fired, but if he does, I mean, what? Everything that you guys said makes sense. The lack of discipline, the lack of players, the GM getting fired. And I don't have a problem with the GM going. Kevin, Mike, what's his last name? Colbert.
Kevin Butler? Somebody,
Butler.
The coordinator
no,
or the GM?
Colbert. Right, the GM.
The GM.
Okay.
Keith Butler can go. I wouldn't be sad to see him go either as the defensive coordinator. It's just everything, even what T just said, and I don't want to make this either the Steelers' the hour or whatever, but it even what he said, the division's got – before the season started, I said Cleveland's going to be a lot better. They went from no wins to 7 wins this year. They have a chance to win 8. Hopefully they will. And you know, Cincinnati's got 6 wins. Baltimore is always going to be Baltimore. They do not fear the Steelers. So they're going to win there again. They're going to split with the Steelers and sometimes sweep. So T-Mac is right. The division has gotten better. It's just the concern of these going for it on two-point conversions, going for it on the fourth quarter, allowing the Roethlisberger to do whatever the hell he wants to do, allowing these you step on the throat 1 minute, then you get conservative, you don't step in. That's coaching, man. Like, you have to step in and say, no, we're not going to do that. I understand you got to let your coordinators coach, but when it's on the line, you have to go, hey, no, that's a bad idea. And if you can't see that's a bad idea and some guys are not responding, then – something's got to give. It just has to, you know. So, you know, that's just, as Tony said, that's one man's opinion. Reggie, what say you, sir?
Well, gentlemen, good evening. Peace and blessings, General. How you and the family doing, my friend?
Well, doing just fine, considering I'm here and they're in Florida, so I'm pretty much with my immediate family on Christmas.
Okay, well, still with family. I'm in North Carolina, so what can I say? We all in this circle. But real quick, I quote from that team. Like, I might be too long-winded, but if you look at teams, you have to reinvent yourself. Case in point, the Seattle Seahawks. Everybody thought the Legion of Boom was gone, and look how they reinvented themselves. They took care of business. You're talking about some of the hot seat. How come I'm not talking about Andrew Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs? They fall like the Hindenburg. That's number one. Number two, get back with me in a second. Also, let's do a follow-up. You had the bottom of the race. Everybody talking about Harbaugh, so he's been gone. What did he do? He had Mr. Jackson, highest control fee, change the system where they're smashing off and the defense is getting nice and healthy. And now they should have beat KC, but they went down way to the West Coast and took out number one seed at the time, San Diego Chargers, and just tore up that division. Number three, if you look at teams now, they have to reinvent themselves. The Bird and Gold Washington football team used to be the fun bunch, the Smurfs used to be Riggins left, Riggins right. If you don't reinvent yourself, you're not going to move forward. And I think that's what we do with Pittsburgh. And as far as the Dallas Cowboys,
thank you.
You want to talk about a team that is not only intellectually dishonest as far as offensively and net, a man that wants to be a head coach, and that's Jason Garrett. But he is Geppetto. If anybody knows anything about Pinocchio, Geppetto wanted to be a little boy. And Garrett wants to be a coach. But you got A.K. Madam, Jerry Jones down the sideline pulling strings. Nobody works that soft is going to be doing anything. And just as a closing, I'm already hearing that Marvin Lewis will pick his date when he wants to go ahead and leave under Mr. Brown. He's making big money with that. And also, they always said that the Cardinals going to fire their coach. Denver Broncos going to fire their coach. I'm hearing Denver Broncos defense coordinator coming to with Marvin Lewis. And also, Baker Mayfield, he's a punk. I hope somebody knocks his block off.
True that.
That action he's doing, he is a straight-up punk. And he needs to grow up. And that's from Shannon Sharp and a plethora of the NFL players. Apologize for being so long with it. Just my thoughts.
I'll tell you what. Definitely, Baker Mayfield is starting to get on my nerves. Because the thing with him, the first thing I thought about when he got drafted, I had my concerns because of his immaturity. And now it continues to show week and week and week again. Because as good as things are going now, you got to also think there's an off season, and that off season is important because teams are going to figure out how to defend him. And when that happens and he gets frustrated,
hey,
it's going to be interesting to see how he responds.
This weekend when Baltimore get a piece of him, and I said, Mike, real quick, how many quarterbacks with his antics have you seen that have been successful with the little BS he's doing up and down the sideline? He might need to knock his head off.
Man, all I can say is this. He has the complexion for protection when it comes to doing these antics. If Lamar Jackson was doing the same thing, they'd be ripping him a new one right now. They really would be. As far as Lamar Jackson, I wonder what Bill Polian's thinking right now. The guy that thought he should be a wide receiver in the NFL. I bet he's eating a whole bunch of crow right now. You know, fried, dyed, whatever, how he does it.
He got white privilege. He'll never bow down like 45. He has white privilege. He'll still say he's right.
Then you got, I would say that, you know, definitely in the NFL, it's all about change and adapting to whatever. But I would say, yeah, John Harbaugh saved his career. Saved his coaching career in Baltimore by switching to Lamar Jackson and staying with him. Because if he'd have went back to Joe Flacco and they lost games, he'd have been fired. Been just like that. But now he's getting an extension until 2021. Did y'all see that?
Yeah.
And then I also look at it, you know, not only is Vance Joseph going to be in trouble, the Arizona coaches might be in trouble too, I've heard. I already heard rumors about him being fired after 1 year, which I think is completely crazy that you're going to fire this man after 1 year and you hand him a complete crap situation to begin with.
And don't
hand him a complete crap situation.
The Bowls will be gone too.
I was actually in the stands when the Jets played the Titans. Jets fans were like laying into him, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, What top 50 player do you see on this team besides name me the top 50 players on offense they have? And they couldn't tell me any. So I'm like, okay then. So you expect them to win with no top 50 players on offense. And he has some pretty good defensive players. I give him that. But if you don't have any top 50 players on offense, how do you expect to win? So, you know, it's just you just don't. You can't necessarily win at all times that way. That's why the Titans' offense has been inconsistent. That's why, you know, the teams that have the seriously inconsistent offenses, they have players that show glimpses of being top 50 players, but they're not top 50 players for a reason. So, you know, you basically put all that on him, but you need to put that on the GM because the GM, what have you been doing? What really have you been doing? You've been substituting with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then you bring in McCown, both the guys over the hill. and then you bring in Darnold, and then you want to throw the blame at the coach. That doesn't make any sense. That's that funded math for you.
Yeah. And when you think about it again, T-Mac, Orlando, Reggie all made points about – Reggie just made a point about changing and adjusting. And you talked about how, you know, Baltimore with Lamar Jackson. And you're right, Bill Polian is like Al Campanis to me. And T knows who I'm talking about. If you don't, you know, the former – baseball GM, black players can't, you know, they're just not, they're breeded a certain way and they can't do this. You know, Polian didn't go to that rhetoric, but that's really what he was saying with Lamar Jackson. That boy can ball. And we just said this on the show, I think, last week. Let him ball. He's gonna beat you with his feet, and then once you come, you sneak that safety up in the box, then he's going to beat you with his arm. And he can throw the ball. He's still learning, and he can throw the ball. So, you know, the adjustments, Pittsburgh hadn't done that. Pittsburgh has a history of doing that under Noel and other people, you know, running, then passing and stuff. They have to make those adjustments. That's what Reggie is saying. I took it, at, you know, that way. And, you know, Andy Reid, we shouldn't be surprised. We were looking for a collapse. They're still right there. And thank God San Diego lost, or they really would be in trouble. But it is what it is. Mike, before you go, I do want to touch on TSU because, look, this came to the men's 4-8, and, you know, they got that big win over Oregon on the road, and we've seen a lot of HBCUs, and you already know a lot of HBCUs have won on the road or won at home, A&T, and some others have won big games. What's the deal with this team, though? What's the feel right now? They not to mention the Baylor win. They lose to a very good Gonzaga team. They played well against Iowa State. You know, what's the deal with this team? What's the feel with this team right now after 12 games?
All right, you said Tennessee State, but I will tell you that they didn't play Oregon, they didn't play Iowa State. They did play Tennessee, they did play Memphis, definitely, but then they got their doors blown off.
I meant to say Memphis. I'm sorry, I was looking at Texas Southern because I was pulling up all the HBCUs mm-hmm. have won big games, but go ahead.
Yeah, I will say this, TSU is still trying to figure themselves out. They're severely undersized. They have to shoot the basketball well, and they have to play with confidence to win. Those are the things that they will be going with this season a lot and trying to figure out basically in terms of who they are and what they want to be. When they get into OVC play, I think they'll be fine. Hopefully, you know, you'll get more consistent play out of a consistent five. It's just definitely they just got to keep pushing, keep trying. And, you know, as time goes on and he's able to get more recruits in, I think things will definitely turn around, and TSU will be the place that he wants it to be, which is the premier place to come watch basketball in Nashville. That's exactly what he wants, and I think over time he has the real possibility of making it happen.
Now, as far as the women, I would say. Did they have a hangover after the A&T loss going into Memphis?
No, they didn't have a hangover going to Memphis because – they actually lost going up into getting into that one. They pretty much lost as well going all up into that too. So, you know, I would say they right now that they probably have more of a thinking of, well, I'm getting ready to go on Christmas break, as opposed to the actual hangover that you speak of.
Mm. Yeah. Well. Yeah. That makes sense. They ready to go home, but I mean they took it on the chin to Memphis. Before you go,
didn't shoot the ball very well.
Yeah, and that usually is reflecting in the score, 99-41. Mm-hmm. When you look at the overall winners of this year, HBCU football, who would you say if you can think of a player of the year, offensive defense MVP in the NFL, and then player of the year
in your opinion, in college football, major college football?
All right, no. Gotcha. Now, as far as, you know, HBCUs, I would say North Carolina A&T is continually winning and winning and winning again. They are right now the face of HBCU football to me because they're the consistent success and just consistency in general. Even with Tariq Cohen leaving, still they are the picture of success. And I think that they will continue to be, you know, do well and make things happen. As far as they say, you should ask me for the my offensive and defensive MVPs, correct, for the NFL?
Yeah, well, yeah, offensive, defensive, and the MVP in the NFL.
Okay, as far as offensive MVP, there's no question. That's Patrick Mahomes. Anytime you throw a no-look passes at your own point, yeah, you get my vote. But as far as, you know, as far as defensive MVP, that's an interesting proposition there. I would definitely go with Aaron Donald, though. But one guy, I would say this, though, and I didn't write about it, you know, another guy that got looked over for the Pro Bowl, Chris Jones. That guy's got 13 sacks and didn't even sniff the Pro Bowl. How does that happen?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, 13 sacks as an interior lineman. Playing the same position
just like
as
Donald,
Aaron Donald.
Too. Right.
Yeah, playing the same position. Yeah.
Same
doesn't
position,
even get a sniff of the Pro Bowl, which that is completely unacceptable. he's doing the same things Donald's doing, but in the AFC, but he didn't even sniff the Pro Bowl.
Right.
He'll be there now, though, because Jerome Casey got hurt, but we'll see what happens.
MVP?
And I'll see. MVP, well, actually, I would like Patrick Mahomes to be the MVP, so if Patrick Mahomes is going to get the MVP, then that means Drew Brees has got to be the offensive MVP, but we all know that they're probably going to give it for the NFL Longevity Award to Drew Brees. So more than likely, Drew Brees will win the MVP for his NFL, or as we should say this year, the NFL Longevity Award, because I still think Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback, but or more talented quarterback and had a more impressive year. He's almost thrown 50 touchdowns, and he won't win the MVP because Drew Brees is there. Doesn't make
who's
much sense.
Okay. Who's the player of the year in college football? Do you agree with
player of the year in college football? I would say this. I love watching Tua play, but I got excited watching Kyler Murray play. So I would say Kyler Murray to me. I mean, he's like a skinnier version of Russell Wilson. But, you know, he's probably never going to touch a football again after this year. But, hey, for that one year, he made it special.
Just one look at you. on that lead.
It was so overwhelming. She was like, I don't know, don't tell me. He had eyes that said, girl, I'll save you. She had doubts like they might not make it. So they both held tight to face it. They were out, she was about to take them. She was full of trepidation. There in front of the whole damn nation. It was whoa, can't predict the coming storm. Promise that you'll keep me warm. Kinda wanna play this role. You say, yo, nobody's planning. Ooh, I'm in love, it's true. Yeah, damn, I forget you. And we all make mistakes sometimes, but we muddle through. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Oh, baby, I'm in love. Till I yearned to touch you more and more. It was whoa, can't predict the coming storm. Promise that you'll keep me warm. I don't wanna play this wrong. You say yo, I've been loving you so long. Ever since that bumper song, you ain't gotta break down. Nobody's blending. Ooh, I'm in love, it's true. Yeah, damn, I forget you. And we all make mistakes sometimes, but we muddle through. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
I'm not good.
To speak to Bone Quisha.
Otis?
Yes, this is Otis.
She don't want to talk to you.
Well, tell her she is going to hear me one way or the other. Either she steps outside or either she's going to hear me through the door. You know, Bone Quisha, ever since you and I stopped seeing each other, I ain't been doing nothing but thinking. I ain't been able to sleep. I ain't been able to do nothing that required you being in it. Baby, I know that we've had rough times before, but we got through it. Like the time all the power went off in the house and we had to finish cooking the collard greens on the Happy Eater, but we did it together. All the time that the defroster didn't work on the microwave and the turkey was still frozen, remember, we had to get chicken down from Larry's Long Neck Leadwater Late Night Chicken House. Remember? But now I don't have you, and that's why I'm having these Christmas blues. Yes, Christmas blues. Sometimes I wonder, was it worth it? Waking up early in the morning to go to the little champ to get you 3 pickle eggs, some Lay's plain potato chips, and a Coca-Cola. I said, self, was it worth it? And myself answered back, yes, it was real worth it. I miss you, and I love you so much. I'll do anything to make you mine again. I'm also lonely, so sad and blue. I'm spending Christmas Day without you. I'm very, very sad and lonely. But anyway, let me tell you something. I do have you and the kids a present this year. I had y'all a present last year, but, you know, my alternator broke in my truck. And, you know, I need my truck for to go to work. And so I had to take the receipt, take all the presents back, and fix my alternator. But I do got you a present this year. I didn't have time to wrap it up. I got it in some brown pick and save bags. Also, I got some wine. I got some cold duck, baby. You need to open the door. He quacking. I remember one Christmas, maybe 3 Christmases ago, we ran out of ham, and you said you wanted another ham. But you really didn't say you wanted another ham. I just figured that's what you wanted. So they had a 12 dozen crab special, so I got you a dozen of big blue crabs. I mean, I'm just saying, I just hope this Christmas is a little different. You know, I just want a little turkey, a little of that sweet, sweet plum dressing. You know, I just want the kids to be happy. And, you know, Bone Quisha, I know when we got married, I vowed to give you diamonds and pearls. But when I hurt my back at work, my workman's comp could only get zirconia and Gannon necklaces. I also said that when we moved out of your mama's house, we were going to move into a place double her size. That's why I got 2 trailers and put them together. Yes, babe, a double wide. All those things I done for you and the kids, but I still have these Christmas blues because I'm spending Christmas out the kids and you. I love you, Bone Quisha. I love you. But you know what? One thing I want to tell you this year about Christmas. Last year, when you served up all the turkey and everything, and you know, all of the trimmings and everything, when the cranberry dressing got round to me, there was none left. So please, I hope you have two cans of cranberry dressing in there, because I love that cranberry sauce. Please, thank you, and please open the door, baby. It's cold.
You're my baby, my lover, my lady. All night you make me want you, it drives me crazy. I feel like you were made just for me, babe. Tell me if you feel the same way, 'cause it just feels so right. I don't wanna waste no time. If I had to choose, I know I'm gonna always choose to be with you. 'Cause girl, don't you know?
Girl, don't you know you're so beautiful? I wanna give all my love to you, girl. Not just tonight, but the rest of your life. I wanna be always here by your side. Girl, don't you know you're so beautiful? I wanna give all my love to you, girl. Not just tonight, but the rest of your life. I wanna be always here by your side.
When you're not here, you don't know how much I miss you. The whole time on my mind is how much I'm gonna get to make you feel so good, like you know I could. Tell me if you feel the same way, 'cause it just feels so right. I don't wanna waste no time. Girl, if I had to choose, I know I'm gonna always choose to be with you. Girl, don't you know?
Girl, don't you know?
Yes,
yeah, I wanna give
my love to you, girl.
Not just tonight, but for the rest of your life.
Your life,
I wanna be
always here by your side.
Girl, don't you know you're so beautiful? I wanna
give all my love
to you, girl.
Not just tonight,
but for the rest of your life.
I think about love. Girl, your face is all I see. Girl,
when I think about your touch. You know I hunger constantly. Oh, baby, you are my impossible. You know you're everything to me. Can you see? You are my puzzle, so unsolvable. You're my greatest mystery. Eternally, there is no love like yours and mine. It's one of a kind. Ooh, when I think about your kiss and what I'm gonna give, my whole world turns upside down. Girl, my one and only wish is that you'll always, always be around. 'Cause baby, you are my impossible. You're
chimney about a half past three. If all these pretty presents that you see before me, ooh, Merry Christmas, baby, sure been good to me. I haven't had a drink this morning. I'm all lit up. I'm all lit up. Like a Christmas tree.
You're the only one who takes my breath away. The reality that lives in me, it calls to you. Know that you are all of what I live and breathe. 100 proof. Never does a day go by when in your eyes I see my truth. There would be no life for me if ever there's no you. You became the love that grew to know just the pieces fit, teaching me the where, the when, the why, the how, the truth in it. Understand that all there is and all that's ever be is the way that the road to love brings you back to me. You're my destiny. Never once afraid to trust. Your love was there to fill my need. Understand it all there.